Okay, I want to start. Rabbosai, Boruch Shechionu V'Kiemonu. It is very, very geshmak to start Siman Aleph again. I must say, out of all the chalokim of the Mishnah Berurah, my personal experience, and I remember other members all felt the same way. Out of all the chalokim of the Mishnah Berurah, the one that, in a way, is the most can't say the most important to learn, but the one that is raises the most awareness, you know, when it comes to Ilchas Sukkah, we know pretty much what to do, Ilchas Pesach, Shabbos, but the one that we sometimes seem to neglect, the most common neglections and the most common mistakes is probably in Chelek Aleph. Starting from Ashkamas HaBoyke, Negel Vasa, Tzitzis, Tfilin, going to Ilchas Tfilah, they are incredibly, incredibly important halachas. And it's a great fun to go there again. It's really, really great fun. It's really important. I want to share with you, Rabbi Yisai, that I have a clear and vivid memory that when I went once to Avozna when I was I went a few times, but that particular time I believe was the last time before we moved back to England. So. And then I went into him, and I remember clearly that it was very hard to get into him that time. And he had this Kabbalah's call that everybody was able to. I mean, everybody was. You didn't have to be a VIP to get in. You had to go to Avozna. Anybody could just go and ask questions. When the time was over, I think I was the last one to get in. He had an hour or so. When the hour was over. Then everybody was pushed away, and he said, you know, even emergencies, everything, everybody's been pushed away. And literally, the Gabbaim shoved everybody away from Avozna's house. It's a very nice house, very, very nice flat. And it was a church. And I had a quick glimpse, what is now Avozna doing, which is so incredibly important, that everybody's been pushed away, and there's no more Kabbalah's call now, and nobody's there. You know what crucial thing is he doing now? What is everybody's going out of Avozna, no more Kabbalah's call, what is he doing? And I remember clearly he was opening a Shulchan Aruch, and he was opening Shulchan Aruch, was learning his daily schedule of Shulchan Aruch. He didn't do Mishnah Berurah, he did Be'ahei Tape, the same idea. He was doing his daily schedule of learning Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim, which he did apparently every day for half an hour, 2 hours. So it just shows that if Avozna does every day a bit of Erech Chaim, and he was by then, you know, the undisputed leader of the generation, the Gadol HaDor, and he was just going through, you know, Shulchan Aruch with Be'ahei Tev, and he was finishing like this. Apparently, nearly every year, or every couple of years, he was finishing all Aruch. I think that's a really meaningful little sight that I witnessed then. I want to also, before we actually start with Shulchan Aruch, I want to share with you, there is a beautiful, if you ever have spare time, the Hakdom, an introduction of the Mishnah Berurah, which the Heilige Chofetz Chaim himself wrote. It is an introduction to his beautiful Sefer, an introduction. And that introduction is only a couple of pages, and there is, it's very beautiful and very important what he, so it's very nice what he writes there. But I want to share with you one particular paragraph, which is really the crunch of it all. And he says over there, and he explains really to the world, why did he write the Mishnah Berurah? Why did the Chofetz Chaim, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, write it about Mishnah Berurah? And remember, the Chofetz Chaim was a humble person, and Chofetz Chaim was he was naturally a very calm and quiet person. Yet he wrote, what made him write this? Why made him write this? And here it is. I've got it in this edition over here. It's about the sixth paragraph, approximately, starting Vehine. And he says as follows: Vehine, behold, Av Shelimud HaTorah. Who kol ma she'odom lo yimeid. Although limud haTorah, everything a person learns is considered limud haTorah. Afilu bekodshim v'taharis, even the more obscure, if I may say, parts of the Torah, like kodshim v'taharis, who mekayim mitzvah aseh de talmud Torah. Certainly, of course, every part of the Torah that you learn, you fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. Mikol mokom, nevertheless, ikar limud haAdam, the main learning of a person, tzorech lios must be belimut hameivil demaseh. I'm just in the. How is that? Tzorech lios belimut hameivil demaseh. There's no greater learning of something which is limut meivil demaseh. You've got to learn something which brings a person to the right actions. So it's nice to learn Kachim, but you don't bring Kabonis. It's nice doing Taharas, you know, Tumen Tahar doesn't really apply to us so much. But the main thing is gotta be that you learn something, which is Halach Lemaiseh. Well, came there for Ombu Chomin, Chachomin Zichon, Chachomin said in Gemorim Brachet, Oyev Hashem, Hashem loves, Sharet Zion, Mikol Mishkenes Yaakov. And the Gemorim Dashens, Oyev Hashem, Sharim HaMetzionim Be'alocha, Hashem loves the Sharim, the gates, HaMetzionim Be'alocha, Yoisim HaVateknesim HaTimidoshim Yaakov. Hashem loves the Batimidoshim who spent effort and time learning Halacha more than any other learning of Torah. Indeed, every person must learn halachas b'chol yoyim kedei shalimud yevidin demaisa. The Shach writes, a person will learn halach lemaisa every single day. And that's probably where Rav Uzna got it from. V'alidei limud halachas muftach odom l'idichah olam haba. If a person learns halacha every single day, he goes to olam haba. Ad she'izal limud b'chol yoyim shkedei isa b'gemar, the Gemara writes, Tana b'elio, shani halachas b'chol yoyim. And is a matter shaykh tov ba kaf oim lo mat odom tre alochs be tzav for a person should learn two alochs in the morning with tref beramshen two alochs in the evening kim ba zev shiro se ge yom velaylo. So there you go, person learning, it's the entry ticket to olam haba is to learn every day a little bit of alochs lemaisa. It is fantastic. I mean, it's an unbelievable achievement that the Mishnah Berurah managed to do. The Shulchan Aruch that we have in front of us is, of course, really the background of the Shulchan Aruch. Is the Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote this only as a summary, because really what he wrote is the Sefer Beis Yosef. Yosef Karo, some 500 years ago, wrote the Sefer called Beis Yosef, which is an enormous piece of work, the Beis Yosef, which is all the collection of all the Rishonim, which is in the Torah. It's an enormous piece of work. To plow through that takes very, very long time. That's what people do. We learn halacha in the Kodalim, learning halacha, you go through the Beis Yosef, to Beis Yosef. But it's such an enormous amount, and the Beis Yosef himself realized it's impossible to go through all this successfully and get to the halacha lemaisa point because it's so much learning. Therefore, he made a summary. That was the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch, was a summary, a kitzah, that people can go through the Shulchan Aruch and just remember, oh yeah, I remember all the Gemaras. Yeah, I remember the Rishonim. Yeah, I remember. But it was really meant as a summary. So what's the point of learning a summary without learning the background of it? And that's where the Mishnah Berurah Chofetz Chaim, his glory shines in achieving that. That he was able to write a Mishnah Berurah on Shulchan Aruch, so without you going to the Gemaras, Rishonim, Tor, Beis Yosef, he managed to just take the Shulchan Aruch, which is really a summary of it all, and he collected the final opinions, Nalach Lemaisa, collected and put it in the words of, put it onto the page of Shulchan Aruch. It's an amazing achievement. Nobody else, I believe, had such incredible success as the Mishnah Berurah. But I think that the real success of the Mishnah Berurah was because of his incredible, and hardly ever does he really bring his own opinion. I think he doesn't really impose his own opinion onto anybody. It's just a collection, which is, well, it's not just a collection, but the way he brings this in a style of collection, and that's his, that's the Mishnah Berurah's great anova. Okay, having said his introduction, let's start with the Shulchan Aruch Simen Aleph, Din HaNogas Adam HaBoyka Simen Aleph, Din HaShkamas HaBoyka. Okay, it's done in the order of the Shulchan Aruch is done in a way of waking up. Perhaps you would have assumed that you start Shulchan Aruch with what? Perhaps you would have assumed, pardon? With what? With going to bed. Yeah? Or perhaps even a little inch earlier than that. Maariv, because that's really when the day starts. When our halachic day starts by night. But the Mishnah Berurah was very practical. He said, no, people generally look at the day by when you start the day, which is, I suppose, the morning. So that's how he starts. First halacha, Rabbosai, his gabe ka'ari, a person should wake up like a lion. La'amoid ba'boike la'avoid as boire, a person should wake up like a lion, lavoidas boiroi, to serve his creator, Kodosh Baruch Hu, shu ma'oire ha'shachar, that you should wake up today, as opposed to what? As opposed to the day waking you up, yeah. You should wake up today, as opposed to the day waking you up. That's the first halach here. Person should wake up the day, shu ma'oire ha'shachar. This is, in the pre- This is in the pre-electricity days, of course. And we're going to speak about the Mishnah goes into that in a couple of. It's when the light shines in the morning. That's when you wake up. Rabbi, so let's what the Mishnah says over here. Lavoidas boiroi ki lekach nivra adam Mishnah starts his beautiful. We wake up in the morning like a lion, because that's why we've been created to serve him, and that's the attitude you approach when we wake up. Even if in the winter the Yetzer tells you, how on earth can you wake up in the morning? It's so freezing cold outside. Just look at the cars. They're all like, I suppose the horses in those days were quite in similar kind of shape. So why, you know, how can you wake up? It's freezing cold. Oh, yes, in the summer, what does the Yetzirah say? How can you wake up in the morning so early? You haven't slept enough. You know, it's just not enough. The 10 hours haven't done the trick. It's just not good enough. So how could it's too early to wake up? So therefore comes Shulchan Aruch and teaches us Yizkaber Olav Ve'alishmanu, should overcome powerfully, energetically, with a dynamic approach. You should overcome Yetzora Ve'al Yishmalo, and don't listen to the Yetzora. Ve'yachshav Benafsho, you should think to yourself, Ilu Hoye Nitzrach Lamod Le'Shoris Livnei Melech Basav Adom, if I were, person has to think to himself, if I were to serve a king, which is made out of flesh and bones, a person who would have to, you know, would be zoris, would wake up with the zizus, fast and swiftly, would certainly, if a person would appear in front of the king, surely he would do it swiftly, even more so, certainly a person should, we are serving Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should also get out of bed swiftly, energetically. Says the Ramah. The Ramah now, he qualifies this a little bit, and he says as follows, second line. He says, alright, you know, if you can't wake up that, if you're not so great at waking up, when you can't just wake up when the, you know, when the light goes up, and you can't go so, at least don't delay until the Olam people davening. Right, quite a bit later. So if it's not 6 a.m., at least don't make it after 10 a.m., you know. So it's that don't delay until people finish davening. Certainly daven no later than when the Olam are davening. And Veshivisi Hashem Lenek Disomit, here the Ramah tells us, it's very interesting, the Ramah gives us over here, Shivisi Hashem Lenek Disomit, who klal godol b'toyra, to have shivisi Hashem in negisomit, I focus, I go towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's in front of my eyes, tomet at all times, who klal godol b'toyra, that's a great fundamental rule in the Torah, v'malas ha-tzadikim, ha-shoholchim lifnei Elohim, it was a great mitzvah to have. It's interesting, here the Ramah does something which is very rare. He goes over here in something which is not really halacha. The Ramah is telling us something which is a Ma'alas HaTzadikim, it's a great midah to be Shivisi Hashem Lenek Disomit, but he does find it necessary to bring it in the very, very first halacha in Erechaim. Ki ein yeshivas ha'odom v'snu'ois v'asokov v'u levadoi b'veisoi. A person's any movement is not, you're never really alone. Ki yeshivas v'snu'ois v'asokov v'di melech godl. V'lo dibur v'achovas piv kirtzoinoi v'hu iman she'beise v'ikov ki dibur v'moshav ha'melech. He says here the same point. He says, you should know you're never on your own. If you would, the way you would act, the way you would behave, the way you would speak in front of a king, well, that very way you should be acting, talking, behaving at all times, because you are really essentially always before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol shken kshiyosim ha'odom eliboi, you should put in your heart, shamelech ha'god la'kadosh Baruch Hu, asher meloi kol ha'aretz, kvod la'kadosh Baruch Hu's honor and glory is everywhere. Oy medolav v'roi b'mayis, v'kadosh Baruch Hu sees all your actions. K'mo yishenem ha'im yisose ish b'mistorim, v'ani lo yirenu ne'um Hashem, miyad yigilo elav ha'yiro, v'achno, pepachat Hashem yisbaruch v'oshtem enu tomet. So if you're aware, if you bring that awareness to yourself and your, not just awareness, what else is it? It's awareness and the consciousness that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you at all times, then you're going to behave differently. Throughout your whole day. Okay, these are the words of the Ramos so far. I want to look at the Mishnah Berurah here, because Mishnah brings some very interesting halacha lemaisa points. Really interesting. Some of them not so well known. In Tziv Kotten Beis, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, Hashach in the Mung, Beshnakos Havsoit, Teshlor Baitzor is something which is more Kabbalistic, really. Slightly more Kabbalistic inclined. But Mishnah Berurah does find necessary to point it out. Lechaba Yoim Volale Beteir Tfilah, Hen Beboike, Hen Boerev. Mishnah Berurah says of here as follows, from the Shlor HaKadosh, that you should connect the night and the subsequent day either with Torah or with Tefillah. What does that mean? You should connect the night with the subsequent day with Torah or Tefillah in the name of the Shlach Kodesh. What it means is that you should always make sure that there's a... That's right. The last thing before you go to bed and the first thing in the morning should be either or tefillah. Should either be Torah or tefillah. Which I suppose what that means is very interesting. So you should be the last thing before you go to bed should be either learning or davening. Don't finish off the day by finish off by doing something Torah or tefillah. Similarly, also in the morning, don't wake up and only an hour later start learning or davening. Rather, you should make sure that the connection between the night and the day is to Torah or tefillah. He brings us in the name of the Shlach Kodesh, slightly more Kabbalistic, but it seems to be a very important point. When a person wakes up immediately, and you decide not to sleep anymore, yitkal odov, you should wash your hands, even if you decide to lie, to rest a little bit, not going to sleep, but you want to stay in your bed for another few minutes, you should straight away wash your hands, even if you're not getting out of bed straight away. But you should certainly not go for amos. Don't walk aba amos without washing hands. And you've got to be very careful with that. It remains a bit of a mystery. I don't understand. It's been bothering me for a long time. I don't understand. The Mishnah Berurah goes into great details about negel vasa in the morning. He says, make sure when you wake up straight away, wash negel vasa. Don't go dalet amos, don't go four amos. You know, he discusses now the room. Can you walk in the room without having washed negel vasa? And he says, really, you've got to make sure that you don't. The reality is, these halachas about netilas yadayim is a siman later. That's a siman later. In siman dalet, we speak about netilas. Look, in siman dalet, his old siman about hilchas netilas yadayim. Page ches. Din netilas yadayim. There we go into all the details. When exactly do you need to wash your hands? Why are we washing hands? When are we washing hands? When are we making the bracha, etc.? What the Mishnah Berurah here, in the very second Mishnah Berurah tells us, when you wake up, make sure to wash your hands straight away. Don't get out of bed. One second here. This is not the right place to discuss this. The whole Mishnah Berurah tells us what happens if you've got no water available. What are you meant to do now? What if you've got no water? And the well is that little bit further down the road. No plumbing system in place. What are you going to do then? He says, yeah, but it's not, I'm saying, what were you saying? What is Kabakari? So, even if you decide to stay in bed, yeah, but Rabbi Feingold says it's all part of the Iskabe Kari. So I understand what you're saying. You're saying that it's true. Of course, the real halachas are later. to read halachas that later. But here we're telling us there isn't that. But here what? Here the halacha of iskah bekari, and therefore we've got to mention that already. Day to night. Yeah, but that sounds interesting because it does flow from there. It does follow from that halacha. You got to connect the day and night in learning. When you wake up in the morning, straight away you do it in the Siddam. It's interesting. Yeah, maybe something on those lines. He brings down the name of the Zohar Kodesh. Maflik Avub Zeba On Shemoyot. Somebody doesn't wash Negel Vasa straight away. The Zohar Kodesh said it's not good. It's a serious punishment. Somebody doesn't wash Negel Vasa. Kumash is Atzm Ruach Tumah because there is a Ruach Tumah. How are we going to translate Ruach Tumah? Impure what? Impure spirits which dwell on a person as long as he hasn't washed Negel Vasa. But you don't have to, you may not be oiv on any Isurim just to wash Negel Vasa. Kegoin, what are Isurim? If you have to be excused, and you don't have water yet, there's no water available, somebody's going to bring to you the water soon, don't wait. You get up, and you are excused, even if you have to walk now at Aladamas. Pardon? Yeah. Certainly, you may not take somebody else's Negel Vasa, because your water is not ready yet, you're going to nick somebody else's Negel Vasa. You know, I'm very machmir. I tend to not to walk. So that's all wrong. He says, no, you cannot use somebody else's Negel Vasa. If you don't have any Negel Vasa, do not allow yourself to do any transgression because of that. If the water is far, and nobody can bring the water nearer to you, there are some people who are extremely stringent and careful. They will do less than 4 amas steps. They'll make short steps, short steps, short steps, always having a little break in between. Thereby, it's not considered a proper walking to the water. Rather, you've done small steps, and therefore that's considered a lighter way to reach the water. Of course, the Shara Tshuva disagrees. Lo in here, the Adif Yosef Shel Chuba Merutza says, no, on the contrary, run to the Negel Vasa, Shel Hashes Ruach Ro'al Yodav, run to the Negel Vasa, that every second that you don't have Ruach on your hand is better. So just hurry up and don't delay. And here comes the famous Kula that some interpret in various ways. Yesh Oyim Delin and Zez, some hold Amrinon Kula basic Dalat Amas Domi. Some say, says the Mishnah Berurah, that the entire house is considered Dalat Amas. Kula Beisa Dalat Amas. What would that mean? If we say that Kula Beisa Dalat Amas, what would that mean? The whole house is considered like 4 Amas. It doesn't mean literally Dalat Amas. It's the whole house is considered Dalat Amas. If we go with this leaning opinion, what would that mean? You can go straight to the bathroom, wash your hands there, and that's it. You do not have to be careful to have a Negel Vasa next to your bed. That's what it would mean. But the Mishnah says, well, don't rely on this unless you really got to. There is also, I heard years ago, and it could be true, that generally when we have in the Gemara and the Mishnah, is when we have the rule of Kula Beisa Kedalat Amas, it's normally bias, may not mean a house, it may mean a room. If that's true, and there's probably guys in Shas for that, if you say Kula Beisa Kedalat Amas, bias doesn't mean house, literally, but it means a room, it doesn't really help you in terms of you know, walking straight to the nearest sink. So either way, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it so much. Even he says, you should only rely on the opinion. I do remember from my yeshiva years. I do remember from the years in yeshiva that I don't remember if I heard it from Matisio, from Matri Yosef, definitely in the Gated years. Maybe Gedir will remember that there was this. They used to say that when you Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't be this leniency of. You can't just because you're machmir, because you want to wash Negel Vasa next to you, you can't do averis because of that. So what's the halacha if you've got a roommate and you're going to wake him up. You know, he's allowed to sleep another half an hour. But you're going to wake him up and wash him legal vasa. Pardon? Exactly. So the Baal Musa always used to say that Chalil Avashem Issa, you don't have to wake somebody up just because you want to be Machmir. You don't have to wake somebody else because you want to Machmir. That could be if you've got anybody else in your room, and in washing Legal Vasa would wake them up, then you know it's likely to be Chalil Avashem Issa. It could be certainly. You could argue that. What do you think? You could argue that. Yeah. I want to finish off with one more point, which the Mishnah Berurah points out, which is a very unknown point. And the, I don't know what the reason for that is either. I don't know where that comes from. The Mishnah Berurah brings over here in the name of the Yerushalmi. It's not brought down, not in the Rishonim, Kimat not in the Achronim. It's not brought down in the Poskim, besides the Mishnah Berurah, who brings over here, Nochen Moed, at first be Alocha, Nochen Moed, it is very right. It is right before all the three tefillas, meaning before Maariv, before Shachris, before Mincha, to say the Hodah Yirotzim Avu B'Yerushalmi Peik Tefillas HaShachar, Tanu B'Shachris. It's a very nice thing to say. Moed Yani Lefonecha Hashem Elokei V'Elokei Avisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, Shoyetzeisan that you've taken me out Me'afed Elo'er from darkness to light. What a beautiful tefillah to say before Shachris. Over Mincha, and but before Mincha, you say the following: Moed ani lefonecha Hashem lekev lekavisai. Thank you, Hashem. Kshishem zikisani lirois. Kshacham is b'mizrach kach zikisani lirois b'marav. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu give me the schos to see the day, so also the ending of the day. And b'mariv, before Maariv, you recite Yirotzen v'cholu k'shem she'isim be'afel v'tzana le'oiro kein to'etzien me'afel le'oiro. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have given me the opportunity to see that the end of the day, so also Hashem will give me the schus to see the start of the day. It is not printed in majority of the Sidurim, but what a beautiful tefillah. Yeah, the Vilna, the Aliyah Hagro has got it, Aliyah Eliyahu has got it. Yeah, but most Sidurim don't have it. It's a beautiful tefillah, and I wonder why it's not been included in our tefillahs. It's really, really beautiful. But you know, some recent which one have you? Which one have you got? Which have you? Elias Eliyahu have you got? Which did you use?
Not the God.
I'll show you. Okay. So many sidurim don't have it, but it is a very beautiful tefillah. Yisrael Mishtabur feels that it's a very right thing to do. Just before Shachris, before Mincha, before Maariv, before. No, before you start davening, before Shachris, before Ashrei, before Mincha, and before Vachon, before Maariv. Rabbi said, summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke, the first halacha is called a kari, person should wake up like a lion, I suppose without the roaring though. Yeah, and Lama Vavoyka to stand up in the morning to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We spoke about the Shivis Hashem in the summit. The person should always remember the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in front of him, even if you're on your own. You're not really on your own, you just feel on your own, but you should behave as if you'd be in front of a Melech Malcha Amlochim. We spoke about the Yetzirah, fighting the Yetzirah, and not carry on schluffing as long as you really feel you want to schluff, but you just wake up with some energy. We spoke about finishing off the day with learning and starting off the day with learning or davening. And we also spoke about the importance of Negel Vasa. We went to discussion Kula Basic Adalat Amos. And finally, we learned about this Bialoch, who tells us the Yerotzins, which are beautiful tefillah to say before Maariv, before Shachris, before Mincha. Good evening, Rabbi Yisai.